for you. So today's daf is daf Nun Zayin. However, we want to get in a good Halakha Mishnah on daf Nun Vav Lamed Beis. So Shai B'Josh will begin the proceedings with
Zukta Halakha Mishnah.
Kol hakitamim hanimtzaim b'chol makom tehorim chutz min hanimtzaim b'chadarim u'besvivot beit ha'atmeot. So normally, we established yesterday that normally we are not cheshish for finding a beged with a ketam in it in a makom where Yisrael is, because they're makpit to be matzniya the ketamim, and therefore a stain on a beged is assumed not to be a source of tuma. Unless we're talking about a private room or places where the whole house is used for women, b'shas, their tuma, for places that were makbid, that a woman should have a completely different area. Still, by the way, Nohug in Africa, there's tribes that are makbid on the
Giora from Mauritius. She says that in Nida, they go into a different, they go out of their house.
Into a different house. Yeah, but there's beliefs all over the world that menstruating woman is has evil spirits associated with her, or can cause illness or whatever. So it's not a rare thing to find societies that have a Beit HaTmeot, a special house for women that are Tmeya. But the expression by Yisrael is, of course, that we are very choshesh for the problems that are alul to come up. For Tumas Mishkev Umershav and so on. So we mock it not to get into a matzav where everything in the house is going to end up tameh just about because of the Yashva Alel Yishtei Nida and so forth. So therefore there were places that were mocked with to have a mokum, a bias itself that was tameh. And there, of course, we can't say that they necessarily everything in there is tameh. The whole point of that mokum is that there's things that could be tummy that would be left around. Beit HaTmeot Shel Kutim, what's worse, is that if this Beit HaTuma, where the Nashim wait while they're needed, is a Beit HaTuma of a woman who's a Kutit, then you have to be Cheshesh, that entry into that place is Betamiyu Be'ohel, Mipnei Shehem Kovrim Shamat HaNefelim. They will simply, if they abort a fetus, they'll bury it there in that room. So you have to assume it's like a nunnery. A nunnery minastam is a malei tuma. So you have to assume that this is a bakum that they buried the babies. Rabbi Yehuda Emer, lahayu kovrim, ela mashlichim v'chaya dorato. They didn't hold that you needed to bury a nefa. We'll see what the makkah was. They would throw a nafel there, and then ultimately a chaya would take it away. Ne'emanim lomar kavarnu sham et hanefilim, o lo kavarnu. Now they are ne'eman to say, in such and such a makom, we buried a nafel, or we didn't bury a nafel. There are also ne'emanim lomar ala behemayim bichraim lo bichra. All of this is very problematic because we saw back in Kulin that they're not nemon on anything because they don't believe in l'sitein michshol, except in the literal sense. The Gemara is going to ask, why all of a sudden are they nemonim? But they're nemonim to say that a behema had a bechor already, didn't have a bechor already. Nemonim atziyun kivarot, they're also believed on the markings in a kever, if there was a burial, and there's no, if we're chesh, it was a burial, there's no marking, then it's not a makom kvura. However, they are not neman on tumas hameis, which are essentially the rabbonim. With rabbonim were machmer that even a tumah brishus harabim is that even where we would have been maker because of a suffix of tumah brishus harabim, such as the beit hapras, the soda shenechrash bo kever. There was a soda that we know at one point or another there was a kever there, but it's been for years they've been plowing this field up. So the rabbanim were gazing at any area around the kever that was, It's considered to be tame because we're afraid maybe the remains were crushed and you could come in contact with a small amount of etzem that would be matame, but maga anyway, or sechokos, which are trees that are over an area where there was a kever, so we're afraid one branch is over the kever, so it goes on any branch of the tree. Pra'ot is the same idea of stones that jut out of walls. We know that somewhere in this area is a kever, we don't know exactly, so all of the pra'ot are matame. Those are gzeiras, they're abonah, and they don't hold of those gzeiras, and therefore they're not neman to say, well, there's no kever in this area. Walls that jut out. You know, like you have sometimes a half a keshet that comes out of the wall. Same idea, yeah. It's a different shape. The idea of Zizek. Zeh klal davar shechashudim bo inemonim alav. And the klal is anything that they themselves are choshed of. They don't hold of it. So they're not neman. My Dorush, why did we say that they don't bury the Nephilim? Why wouldn't they bury Nephilim? I mean, don't they hold the Pasuk says, Lotalim Yivlato? I mean, obviously it's a deraisa, they read the Holy Book. I mean, they know you're not allowed to leave a mace without burial, because they hold like this. It says, Lotasig Gvoreacha Shegavlu Rishonim Benachalatcha. Now there, the Sifri darshans that Gvul Re'acha is a reference to Mokum Kivrei Avosav. And the Nachala, in other words, they're darshan like this, that you are not given Shlita to change your Mokum Kvura, but they darshan, you see that this is in context of Nachalat Cha. So only Koshi Yeshlo Nachala Yeshlo Gvul. Who has a right to a Gvul, meaning to a Kever? After someone who has a nachala, but kosher ain't a nachala, a nefel who never came into nachala, who's never born alive, so ain't no gvul. He doesn't have the gvul referred to in this pasuk, which is kfura. Now the next thing he said was ne'emonim lo marka varnu. They are believed to say, because they believe in tumas ames b'diraisa, right? So they're believed to say there's no tumas ames over here. There is Tumas Ames over here. That they're believed. It's all very nice to say that they are Makbed on Tumas Ames. But being as they're not Makbed on Lifnei Iver, how can we trust them? They would willingly mislead us. And they would say, well, there's no chiv to make sure the other guy doesn't do an Avera. So on what basis would they be ne'emanim? Omra Biavu, it's talking about the Kohen Omecha. Basically, you have a Kohen who is part of the Kutim, and he's standing there himself. They're very makbid on Tumas Meis. So if they're standing there, it's a riot, there's no Tumah there. But first of all, Dilma Kohen Tamehu. They believe that a Kohen whose Tomei is allowed to remain in a basic Mokum Tumah. That's not the halacha. But that's how they understand the halacha. So how do we know that this Kohen is Tahar? He's holding Truma. Tanaka Truma Biyadeh. Maybe the Truma he's holding is Truma Tameya. The Kohen, he's eating it. So I understand. So then it's not that we're believing them. It's that we see. We don't trust them as far as we can throw them. It says in the Mishnah they're Ne'emanim. I mean, there's no Kiddush to say if we know for sure that they themselves are Ne'eg, that there's no Tuma. So what's the Kiddush? Yaki Maila Meima. Mahu Detema Lo Bekihi B'Yitzira. We might have thought that they don't know the Shir. In other words, they don't know whether something is Shayach to Tuma because it's already 40 days old or it's not Shayach to Tuma. Maybe they don't know how to be mavdim. Maybe they don't have the shir of arba'im yom. Who knows what they know about these things? I mean, none of that is beforeish in the Torah. And therefore, you might think that they have their own standards for defining what's a mace, what is metame, what is tamash malan. And in those things where they don't have a clue, they're very often somech without subconsciously. They're somech on the mesera of what defines it, even though that's not particularly logical or rational. But that's very often the approach of these people with it. So it happens to be the Mishnah is telling us that lamaisa you could be somech on their interpretation of Yetzira because they simply absorbed it from us. Ne'amanim ala beima. So what do you mean? How can they'll sell us a behema, and then they'll claim that the behema already had a bechor, and we'll end up, you know, they figure they'll make more money. The number clear to tell us. What do you mean? We believe them. How can we believe them? It's talking about that we see this Kusi himself is being geizes va'eved with the supposed bechor that we're chayshish. They certainly keep the halach as a bechor. It says beferish in the Torah that you can't be geizes bechor tzonecha. So why is it being geizes? He knows it's not a bechor. I will say hachi ma'ala meimus, and it's not a din in that manner. So what's the chiddush? No, about the tema, I would have thought that remember in order to pater bechor. There's a shear of tinuf that we have that was the reason that we can pater. Sometimes tinuf paters, behema daka, which is the next behema that's born after tinuf is considered not to be a peteret. So maybe they misunderstand what is tinuf. Maybe they suppose something is tinuf that doesn't pater. And Lamaisa said they think that it patered, and therefore it's not a bechor the next one. But l'shitatenu, maybe it would be a bechor. So Mamewa, we shouldn't trust them. Kamash Malam, that they have the same definitions. Furthermore, Ne'amanim al Tzion, which is really a Chiddush because of that. Remember that there's a Shi'u we had back in Bukhara.
So we can rely on that.
We can rely that they define it the way we do. Now, the Din of Tzion Kfar Ezmin doesn't say in the Torah anywhere you have to be Mitzayin HaKemet. So what would they so Makben on Tzion Kfar? Why would they be Makben on Tzion Kfar Ezmin? And that if they're not Mitzayin the Kever, we don't have to be precious of Kever there. Afagav min Rabbananu. Ki vandichtiva mizar zirebe. Since Lamaisa, this din of Tzion Kvaras is written in Tanakh. And it's written that, you know, these people love eschatological psukim. I mean, they're very big on the end of days kind of stuff and so on. So this for sure they know about. I mean, come on. It says there that that's part of the old special Hadog of Yisrael, that they spend months going around the country building a Tzion by a kever. I mean, they can't miss that pasuk. So, Mamela, that they believe in. So they're marked on building Tzionim. What's a chachot? Sechachot, it's not. Elo ein sechachot. Ilan ha-mesach al ha-oretz. You have an Ilan, which is next to a Beit HaKvaras. It's actually a machlokas Rishonim. Rashi learns we're not sure that there's a kever there. We're afraid that since it happens, if someone was nifter on Erev Shabbos, so they want to get the kvura done before Shabbos. So you sometimes take a chance to, you know, we'll make it before Shabbos. Well, Maisa, if the Levi is coming and it's very close to Shabbos, the difference in the extra 5 minutes to go into the basic forest, find the mokum of kever, this person, maybe too much, they see they've run out of time. So they'll dig a kever outside the basic forest and bury someone there. We have to be chayshish that such a thing happened. And memela, a ilan, that is even so much the basic forest, we also give it a din of an ilan amesach. Okay, Tosus learns to talk about biyadua shiyesh ames. We know that there's a mace somewhere, we don't know which branch of the ilan is over it, that's carrying the tuma. But in any event, it's be ikar a halacha of a gzera of a tuma drabonet, that all of the branches are tuma. Peros, it's not, avanim peros, hayotzot min hagader, where you have large stones that are put into a wall and they stick out over the outside. This is not a smooth wall. The Kohen walks under that wall, and here too, there's a suffix if it's in a mokum of a kever. And a beta pras, as we know, Amrib Yiram Rib Shmuel, Minat Beachat Am Beta Pras Vaholeif. Rav Yehuda Barami Mishmid Rav Yehuda Veta Prashini Dash Tahor Vitana. So we have those halachas that there's no chashash that there's a mace that's still there that would be Matami Ba'ohel. What we're afraid of is that maybe, because otherwise how can you be Menapeach? Menapeach, you're going to blow your way through. You'll take a bellows, you'll blow your way through. We need to make sure only that there's no maga of an etzem of a shir of a saira. That's all we need to make sure. We wouldn't be samechang that blowing your way through if you need to get through if it weren't stomach zero the rabbana. Or Reb Yehuda says that if it was nidash, people walked over the whole area and so on, and then you don't have to be worried about it because it's already the whatever bones would be there no longer on top of the surface. V'tona ha-koresh beit ha-kvarot. I mean, this is the basic definition. Somebody who takes a plow over an area where there was a kever, he creates a beit ha-pras. Or is there a beit ha-pras? And what is that shear? But Kamo said, melomana, what's as long as the furrow continues from this plow from the kever, me'ama, which is a total of beit arba'at sa'in, so you have four sa'ah on the sada, is now considered to be, which is 25, each one is 25 square amas, so you have over here 100 square amas, 100, and not 100 square, 100 amas square amas, sorry. 100 amas square, it's actually this week's parasha. The whole din, yeah, the whole din is learned out from the Mishkan. So it comes out in the right parasha over here. So 100 ala 100, right? So, okay, so we have over here the shear, it's learned out of the long part of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was only a chamishim al mea. Hello?
Am I next?
Yeah. Okay, but the malo mana is a strip, so it's not it. So this equals four sa'in squared.
But that's a field.
It's huge, yeah. A field. Baseball field. Football field.
I mean, 16 meters.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about a sada. What do you mean? It's a malomana. It's the full length that you would do a furrow. It would be quite long. Rabbi Yossi on there. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's actually machmer to make it five saw. Valome eme. So now you're saying that on these things they're not neman. Vatanya sada shavat ba kever neman. Kusi lomar en shom kever. I thought it says that Akusi is believed to say there was no kever there. So apparently we do accept l'fisheinu made al gufishal kever. In that case, where he's saying there was no kever at all, he's saying there's no kever. In other words, he's not talking about the Beit HaPras. He's talking about the D'Oraisa. Kever is a D'Oraisa. He's also asking the kever is stomach. He's saying there was no kever in this part of the field that you have to be chayshish. I'm telling you, there was no kever. The suffix of the kever was on the other part of the field. Ilanchu meisach al aretz. Neman lomar ein taktav kever. Mipneshino meid ela al gufa shal kever. But in any event, I mean, bottom line is, he's telling us on a din, which is the Rabbanan, that we don't have to be chayish. And he's put it in a way in which he's not addressing the Rabbanan. If it comes out we're believing him, maybe he's lying. Now he doesn't hold the fleece, then he will ascertain mikshor. Reb Yochan, no, that case is b'mahalik u'bal p'nei kula. He himself walks across the entire area. Let's say he himself is doing plowing. So he's walking back and forth. If there was a kever somewhere here, he couldn't have walked back and forth over the whole place. Because he also holds, yeah. And he also holds up the din of Tuma. So how is he going back and forth over the whole thing? Must be that there's no kever there. I said, then Yochim Ilamemra. I thought that we said it, of course. I mean, if we know that he himself isn't obvious, what's the Kiddush? The Kiddush is that Mao de Tema Ritsu'an Nafka, we might think that actually this field has a little piece that he knows that is bolig from the field, it goes into another field, a small ritzua. So he himself, who doesn't hold of the takana of the entire field being tame, he's saying that the kever is in that area. But since we don't know all the details, so he's mahalak ubal pnei the mea. I mean, he thinks that's enough to fool us. That wouldn't be a riot at necessarily Lushita Senu, there's no kever there. Kamashwa, we're not chayash with such things. Zehaklal, that anything that they're choshed on, they're not neman on, what is that coming now to add? Zehaklal asuyimai. Lasuye tchumim, they don't hold of tchumim. At least the Rabbanon tchumim, depending on if you hold all tchumim at the Rabbanon, or the tchum that we call the tchum of only the minimal tchum instead of the entire Machane Yisrael of Yud Beis Mil, which is the Araisa, our tchum of the Alpayim Amis, that's the Rabbanon, that they don't hold up. And the Yayin, they don't believe that there's an Isser just of touching wine. You know, if somebody pours wine to Avodah Zarah, that's one thing. But certainly what we're going to say, a guy touched the wine, so it's going to be us to drink the wine, that's absurd. Since they own hold of those things, there's no way in which they could be Nema. Because even if they themselves would drink it, or they themselves would go chutzutchun, wouldn't prove anything. Hadron aloch dam hanida. Now that we've established the dinim of tuma of the etzem dam hanida, where we know that it's dam hanida, we want to talk about what defines really that dam. And this gets us now into all of the prote dinim of ketem. Before now, when we spoke about ketem, we were only talking about the overall halakha of to be teya an account, to know when you have to be chayshish. We didn't define precisely what the ketem was, where you're chayshish for a ketem, what type of beged, whether it's on the body, whether it's in a place that could have been from somewhere else, whether it's on a davram b'kabel tuma, all of these shailas we didn't talk about. Now, let's address the etzem din of a ketem, just like until now we addressed the etzem din of the dam. How is dam anita mitame? How is a ketem mitame? How roe a ketem al bisara? So first of all, we have to mechaber between a ketem that's found on the body and a ketem that's found on clothing. So if a woman finds a blood stain on her actual flesh, kineged beta turpa, so if it is in some fashion facing an area where it could have actually dripped from her, makoma turpa, where she's vulnerable, open, so to speak, then it's tamea. Now this doesn't mean that it's right next to the genital area, as long as it could have dripped from there. Shalo keneged beta turpa tora. So for instance, al akeva, the al rosh godla, you find blood on her toe or on her heel. That's tame, because in walking that could have been directly beneath an area where the blood would have fallen out from, and the blood fell on her. By the way, some learn akiva. Over here, the pshat akiva is even the whole back of the foot, the calf of the foot. Because since if she sits on her knees, the back of the foot comes out now, kineged her genitals, then the blood could have gone anywhere on the back of her foot. Which forces us to define the parasot that is coming up differently. That's how the Gra learns in many paskin like that. So al shoka vi al parasoteha, on the actual shok of the foot. Or again, if parasot mean the calf, that would be shalom, the pirush we just had. The parasot is that the parasot is actually those bones that are the parts of the animal. In other words, the foot itself. So that on the foot, if it falls on the side, which is bifnim, so the area between the legs blood could have dripped down there. So then it's tamea. Mibachutz, if it's the area facing the other direction, so then there's no way that the blood could have gotten there. So then it's tahora. V'alat stadim mikanu mikan tahara. And furthermore, the back of the foot, to the front, which we're now calling the side, vis-a-vis the mokum where Dam could have fallen. Also over there, it's not a mokum that Dam could have fallen on, so it would be tahara. Ra'atal chaluka, if the bloodstain was on her clothing, so min hachagor v'lamata t'meya, min hachagor v'lamala t'ora, if it's on a baguette that she ties, this is the chagor, it's not quite clear what it is, because it's obviously can be mishapech, otherwise we should say it depends if it's in front of her body or back of her body. Rishonim talk about some type of apron-like affair, which is now tied around. So then, okay, it has a tendency to move around. So then, if it's milamata from where it's tied, it's tmeya. From above that place where it's tied, it's tahor. Rat al beit yad shel chaluk. How about on her sleeve? That's im magia keneged beit haturpa tmeya. If the sleeve is long enough so when she bends down to something, it could have reached a makom where dam could have fallen and it would be tamei. V'im lav tahora. Haitapo shat tov, she would take off her clothing and use it as a cover at night, because obviously, if that's the case, so then that could have been anywhere on her. I mean, at night, you know, because she could have twisted around and the blankets would have moved from, so to speak, the blankets being her clothing in this case, could have moved from place to place. So then any place on it is considered to be tummy. And v'chein befolius, if she's wearing a cape also, I mean, there's a normal way to wear a cape, but a cape has a tendency, it falls down a little bit lower, you pull it a little bit to the wrong side and so on, you'd have to be choshish over there that also it can come down keneged beit haturpa. So now the Gemara is going to begin by introducing, in a strange way, it's going to introduce a problem in Shmuel through which we're going to be aimed on some of the Iker Dinim of Ketan that we have to consider. Instead of taking the Mishnah, we want to first see a surprising halacha which seems to be connected to the Mishnah, and then we're going to analyze what that implies about the nature of the Ketabim that were Chayish. Omer Shmuel, Batka karka olam v'yashva alav. So the woman checks the ground. The ground is completely clear. So she sits down on the ground, exposing the ground now to any dam that may come out of her. There, she gets up now. U'matza dam alav. She finds dam in the place where she was sitting down. Surprisingly, says Shmuel, even though I know the dam must have come from her, no, I mean, it wasn't there before, it's there now. Nonetheless, tahara, there's no chashash that this woman is tamei. Shenamar bivsara, the dam, shetei zav bivsara, ach takish bivsara. She has to feel that dam. If she doesn't feel it, it's not considered to be tamei, which of course, seems to be a stira to the whole Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah says beferish that there's such a thing as a ketan. And what's odd is that the Gemara never asks on Shmuel. I understand. Are you disagreeing that there's such a thing as a ketan? I mean, here we know where it's from. So why didn't we just ask from our Mishnah? So this is a yesod that the Re says in Tosis over here. You can't ask from the very fact that there is a din of ketan. Because it may well be that the Chazal were misakin a din of ketamim, we find something after a while. In which case, what are we going to do? We're going to say that, do you remember feeling any? No, I don't remember. Of course you don't remember. It was 2 weeks ago. What do you mean remember? Well, she's going to remember every feeling that she had. So maybe she didn't. She doesn't remember. But over here, she gets up. There's Dom there. She says, gosh, that's a shock. I had no idea that I was bleeding in any way. So over there it's clear that there was no argosh. That we're taking for granted, that the takon of ksamim is in general where it's shayek, but there was argosh. Okay, we don't know. But in a case like this, where we're looking at the dam on the spot, we wouldn't have asked from our Mishnah stuff. Darshan Shmuel Bivsara Shatardish Bivsara, and this is a pasuk we've been using all along. By the way, we're going to see in the next Mishnah that there's another drasha. There's Rabbi Akiva drasha, and we're going to have to understand why Shmuel darshans from Bivsara. There's a lot of discussions as to whether there's two completely different dinim. Samim are very complex. We'll go into it gently, gradually. As we go through the sugya, it'll become clearer and clearer what the various issues are. But over here, we're saying it's not shaykh to be batami, a woman who knows for a fact that there was no hargasha. And therefore, there's a problem of ifsara here, which cancels the tumah of nidas. Asks the Gemara, but wait, we darshaned ifsara earlier for the chiddush that a woman would be metama even though the dam is bisara. In other words, it's still inside of her body, it's in the beis achitzin. It hasn't come out. We know by a male we expect the tumah to come out before it's metame. We have a special pasuk by a woman that that's not necessary. So how can you use that pasuk to say that it means that she has to feel it in the basar? Why does she have to feel it in the basar? By the way, what this feeling is, it's massive machlokes between the Acharonim. Are we talking about, the biggest chumrah is that the hargasha that we're talking about is the feeling that something wet is flowing through her body. That hargasha zivas dover lach, as it's called. Something wet is flowing. There are many who hold, Rav Nosson Adler particularly, was the Rebbe of Chassam Sefer, that there's no such thing. Because there's always things that can flow. I mean, the whole point is that we're trying to say that there's a clear-cut hargasha of dam. Dam is talking about a hargasha that is associated specifically with the ticha of the womb. So she feels a particular pang. She feels an opening, some say, of the rechem. And even the Gabi Zivas Dovalach is a question. Zivas Dovalach, where? Stam? Anywhere? She feels Zivas Dovalach now, blood coming out of her body? I mean, that's the furthest stage. Or Zivas Dovalach means Dafka, that she feels internally that something now has gone into the Beis Achitze. This already are tremendous machlokes in Halokha Lamaitzka. It's very negiah. Why is it very negiah? Because even though we're makbid on all types of dam, it's very negiah because to determine the nafkamina, whether you can be semech, let's say, on perhaps this dam came from somewhere else, those type of issues, we need to establish first whether we're dealing with the diraisa or the rabbana. So the question of determining whether this dam is diraisa is very negiah b'zman hazeh also. Because if it's the Rabbanan, we can still rely. I mean, if she was making chicken that day and kashering chickens, then we'd be able to rely, if there was no hargasha, that it's not from her. But in any event, Shmuel is tiny, even if we know that the dam came from her, but the dam was shaloba hargasha, we don't have to worry about it because of Bissara. I would need the pasuk of Bissara to tell me that it's Matame, Bifnim Kabachutz. Says the Gemara, that's true. But and if it would have said dam bivasar, that wouldn't have been enough. Dam bivasar would have meant internally. But if they bisara, I mean, obviously it's bisara. Can't be somebody else's bosser. Ella, the pshat is that it's her personal bosser in the sense that she knows, she feels. So it's bivsara. That's a different drasha. That's achitargish bivsara. Because in kain lemakra bivasar. My bivisara, shmamina achetargish bivisara. That which is personally her flesh, that only her nerves are connected to her brain. Wait, but we used that also. Remember, we had before the shaila of whether a woman who's raya dam inside of a membrane, say there's dam in a cyst. Remember that at Bishra Ferret? Remember that also again? So we used bivisara to tell me there that bivisara velo bishvir velo bechaticha. That if there's dam that comes out within something else, that it's not considered to be a ri'iya. So how come we can use it for this? That's because tartish ma'amina. Both of those are implicit in the concept of vivsara. Some learn, this is actually a machlokas rishonim, how to understand that. Some learn both are implicit because there's nothing in the pasuk that would tell you which one to be memayah. I mean, so it's like the Gemara says that the shavim name ve'avo shneim. If you can't determine which drush is more fundamental, it means that the Torah is coming to exclude either of those cases. But there's an interesting sheet of the Ran that says that the two are interrelated, and that the reason that the Torah is telling you that dam inside of something else is not batami is because you can't be margish the dam. In that case. Now, the Gemara now wants to ask from various Mishnayos or Brises that are connected, apparently, what Shmuel says. Because, for instance, Tashma, Aishashi Osatz Rachel, V'ra'as Adam, we mentioned this early on in the Masechta, a woman who is urinating, and she finds now blood. So Rabbi Meir Omer Imay Medes Tmeah V'im Yosheves Torah. If she was standing, then we have to be cheshesh that the urine itself, because it wasn't able to escape the body normally because she's standing up, so perhaps it drew along with it blood that was also in the Beis Achitzeh, was pushed up around the body. And therefore, we have to be chayish that this blood indeed is not from the urine itself. But im yoshevet torah, well, why would there be blood that was vaginal blood in the urine? It must be that she has a bladder infection. So over there, it would be torah. Now, Shmuel, how do you understand this? Hechidam, idi argisha. I mean, if Lamaisa she felt that she was bleeding, so then why would she be Tahira if she's Yosheves? She knows that she was bleeding. Elalav de lo argisha. It must be that she didn't have any feeling of dam. And nonetheless, we're saying that if it was a medes, and now there's blood here in the urine, that she's Tamea. Why don't we say, even if it's blood, it's not Tamea. Shmuel said that even if we know that the blood is here on the ground and it came from me, that I'm not Tamea, now you're making me Tamea, so this seems to be Keneged Shmuel. So it must be that since it says Emet is Tamea, says Shmuel, that doesn't prove anything. Because over there, I have to assume that she was Margeshet. Argisha, of course, she did feel that there was Dam. But Emor Hargashas Meraglayim Havoy. But how is she going to distinguish between where she's urinating over there? It's easy to confuse the Hargosha that she has. There you can't say that it's going to be 100% that it's Tamea because she was Margisha, or it's 100% Torah that she wasn't Margisha. Because Lamaisa, there's other stimulus that's going on at the same time that is able to confuse you. Okay, how about this case? Tashma. Eid. Shayana Tun Tachasakar. We had this also, this question, where a woman had been bodekes. She takes the aid and is waiting for the morning to look at it, puts it underneath her pillow, and she finds dam on it. Now the question is, where did the dam come from? From her bedika? Did it come perhaps afterwards from crushing some lice or something that was by the pillow? So im agol tahor, if the spot is round, so then it obviously comes from crushing something. If you get a round spot, if she's inserting this into herself and it's an aid, this spot would have been elongated, not long, not round. But if it's elongated, you must show that it's tamei. Now I ask you here to the same question. I don't get it. Was she margisha adam? So I understand if she's margisha, well, we're going to be metayer because it's agol. She was margisha. It's a diraisa. What's trying to say agol would be tor? Elalav de lo argisha. How are you going to tell me there was no hargosha, and nonetheless we're being metamei her? Because there was a spot that was bashuch. A spot that's bashuch? Shmuel said, even if there's a pool of blood, it's not matame. What's this spot that's bashuch? Lo, the olam de argisha. The emur argoshas ain't havoy. It's the same thing. Since over here, Lamaisa, she's inserted something internally. So what are you going to say? She's margish. She's not margish. It's very difficult to distinguish at a time where there's something inside of her. whether it's this argosha or that argosha. So every time that you have an ave that's inserted, you always have to be cheshish, that there's a dam that's real dam, and it's difficult to determine whether we're talking about the argosha of the ave, or we're talking about the argosha of the dam. And therefore, if it's mashuch, okay, then vadami gufasa. If it's agul, we'll be saying it's that the argosha was the argosha of the ave, and it's dam. Well, what about this case? Toshma. I mean, how about early on in the Masechta, we said that if the male finds blood on his aid, Nimtzal Shelo, Tmein, V'chayovim B'Korban. How did he get blood on his body if it didn't come from her? So it must be that he was actually mistakenly by Elanida. Nimtzal Shelo, then it depends. If it's ot yom, it's instantly, so then it's tummy. And they have to bring a carbon. If it's nimtzal shalalach hazman, they're only tummy, nisafing p'turim ha'karbon. Now this whole thing doesn't make any sense, I understand. Was she margisha dam? So what's enough kamina if it's liach hazman, amay p'turim ha'karbon? She was margish that there was dam, we found the dam. What's there to discuss? El amay, it's talking about the lo margisha. So if she wasn't margish, so why nimtzar shelo is tameim and chayavim korban? She wasn't margish any dam. It's no different than Shmuel's case. Shmuel says dam doesn't mean a darn thing to us. And all you've established over here that was dam? No. Here too.
What is
otyom? Otyom, remember, was the Greek word meaning instantly, without delay. L'yoylam de'argisha. Here too, the ima hargashat shamayam. So we have three cases where it's possible to be chayshish that there was real dam here, and nonetheless it should only be a suffix. And those are the three cases where she could easily confuse a sensation with being a sensation of nidais, which was really a different sensation, either a sensation of meiraglayim, or a sensation of a bedikas eid, or a sensation of her husband himself. All of those are sensations that can be confused. Fine. Toshma, how about this? Nimtzeita ata omer, shalosh sveikot b'isha. It turns out, says the Braisa, that we have to distinguish three levels of sveikas when it comes to ksamim on a woman. Al bisara, Sofik Tamei, Sofik Tohor Tamei. Now the Gemara is going to go through this and explain what the Braisa is referring to. Because on the surface, we didn't distinguish anything at all. In the Mishnah, we said, just was talking about the place where the blood fell. That's all. Okay, but let's first just look, accept it as it is. If it's on her body directly and it's not on her begadim, so then we have to assume it's Tamei. Because, I mean, if it came from somewhere else, why isn't it on her bega? After all, she was wearing something. No. If it's on her bega, al chaluka, safek tamei, safek tahor, is tahor, because there will be semech that it came from somewhere else. Ubimagaot, ubehesetot, halechacha harov. When it comes to a question, now here's the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what this is referring to. That she's chayshesha stam, or that we know that there is a kesem, and this is a woman who has a problem of constantly being royada. Rashi learns she didn't even find a kesem in this case. And all that we're talking about is that she doesn't have a veset. She's got a problem. She has some type of gynecological problem. And she's very, very often bleeding. And she touches something. So it's saying over here, halecha haro, meaning if most of the time she's tameya, so then we have to assume that the maga is tame, or the heset is tame, even though she didn't find the kestim, and even though there was no argosh. So my halecha harov, doesn't it mean lav imrov yameh tmeim tmeya? If you're telling me that most of the time she has a tendency to bleed, we have to assume that what she touched is tamei. Why, according to Shmuel, don't we simply find out if she was margisha or not? I mean, so here it seems to be ignoring completely. Afa gabdolo argesha. No, it's not what it means, says Shmuel. It means, look whether, not Rov Yomim is bleeding, but look whether Rov Yomim is bahargasha. If Rov Yomim bahargasha chazya tamea, because a woman like this who's constantly having this phenomena may end up not paying attention to it. So we have to assume in that case that Ema argesha v'lavadaita. She will have to be chayshus then, that she was margisha, and simply stopped paying any attention to it. It's like a person who has a pain somewhere. So at first it bothers him, and after it goes on for a couple of days, he stops noticing it. Omar Mar. Al bisara safik tamei safik tar. I'd just like to understand this price. You said, if she finds the ketem on her body, then it's tar. Then it's tummy. If she finds it on the chaluk, so then safik tar is tar. I don't understand. I just read a Mishnah. The Mishnah made no such distinction. I mean, well, what's the case? I mean, imi chagur v'lamata, if it's talking about that she finds it below her belt, so I understand the why, so why is it tor on her chaluk? We said if it's on the chaluk, it's also tamei. Zalucha ramai tor. But it's not, it says beferish in our Mishnah, mina chagur v'lamata tamei. And if we're talking about mina chagur v'lamala, so how did it get there? Even if it was on her body. You're going to tell me that it dripped upwards when she was in outer space. But how did it drip upwards? If it says in the Mishnah, Dafka, it has to be connected, Beit HaTorpa. So my tummy, Hatzdan Rata, Dama Bisara, Shelo connected, Beit HaTorpa, which obviously means connected in a way that gravity could have the dam there. Not that it should be flying up in the sky. So how do you explain it? I'll tell you. I can explain it either way. Let's start with a normal case. It's talking about beneath the belt. Okay? The case is, the Bryce is talking about a case that the Mishnah doesn't discuss. It's talking about that she had walked through a butcher shop that day. So now, definitely, I mean, she was exposed to drops of blood all over the place. So now, if it's going to be found al-Bisara, then our question is, why was it not found al-Chaluka? How did it get on her body without going through her clothing? That's the point. So over there, al-Gufa mi-Gufa, al-Bisara mi-Gufa Asya, simply because the Imi Alma saying al-Chaluka mi-Ba'ilei, it should have been now found on her chaluk, and it isn't found on her chaluk. So how can we rely that it came from somewhere else? There's no way it could have gotten to her without making her clothes dirty. On the other hand, al chaluka, where we say safek tamei safek tor, and she walked through shuksha tabachim, so then we're saying it, miyamas. So now this introduces the concept of tailing by a keter. Tolim. That if we have a place in which we could be tailored the dam, Mishnah didn't say this beferish. From our analysis, that pretended to be only an analysis of Shmuel, we now have our first hagdara, that ketamim, in a place where chayach to be tailin, we will be tailored. But, so al-bisara not, but al-chaluka, we can assume we can be tailored at mi'alma asa. The imi gufa asa, Al-Bisarami Ba'ilei Ishtakuchei. Now you'll notice that there's some contradiction between these two statements. In other words, in the one you're saying the Iker is, why didn't we find it on the Chaluk? In the other one you're saying, why didn't we find it on the Basar? So let me ask you something, what would be if we found it both on the Basar and on the Chaluk? I mean, here it's not clear. Would we then be Seimech? Because, I mean, we did find, you told me the only reason I wasn't Seimech was because it was, why is it on the chaluk? But then you said the only reason that we are semech is because it wasn't on the baser. Okay, this is a machlok as we've shown him. We'll get to this, but we have to keep this into consideration. It's not clear here. It could be. It could be. It's a machlok.
What do you want from me?
It could be.
You want a streak of blood from the butcher?
No, I mean, so then are we Taylor or are we not Taylor? That's the question. You're telling me I didn't find it on the goof. I only found it on the chaluk. But what if I did?
On the chaluk, it's from the butcher. On the body, it's from
the... No, that we're not going to be cheshish that we have simultaneously, coincidentally, two drops of dam. One that came from the butcher, one that came from her. That are zekinegedzeh. The boy say, or I can explain it the other way. I can say, actually, mechagur v'lemala, it's talking about, indeed, and that's why we didn't mention, even above the belt. However, kigondi is dakra. It's talking about that she bent over. She turned over. It's okay. It's over there in Akinami. Like the case we had before. So, al b'sara v'ade migufa asi, di'im yama asi akalukai v'elesh takukai, al chaluka mi amasoy vimi gufa asoy al besara iboy leishtakuche. But Shmuel, please explain to us. It says over here al besara safek tamei safek tahor tamei. How do you explain the fact that if she finds dam on her basar, obviously without any argosha, because if she had argosha, we know where it came from. Ava gab de lo hirgisha. It says that she's tameya. Mashma, even right away, same thing like over here when she found it. And Aroa Ketan, Al Bisaram. And what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says she's a Roya Ketan. Mashma, she finds right now, 2 minutes ago she checked, she was completely clean, she just got out of the shower. And now she suddenly finds Dom. What's the difference between that case and between sitting on the ground and finding dam? You said the sitting on the ground, the reason it starts because she wasn't margisha. Over here she also wasn't margisha. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says that she is tameya. How can you square your halacha with the Mishnah? Avagav de varagishta. Omer of Yirmiyah midifti. Meida Shmuel she tameya min rabbanan. Shmuel wasn't saying that the dam, she, even when she finds dam in the karka, it's tahira mamish. It means in the Urisha she's tahira. But he's made it that there's a din derabona, which is similar to the din of ksamim, which means that we're geyser even without our gasha. Maybe there had been our gasha that she didn't realize. Whereas Ravashi Omer Shmuel, Ravashi Omer Shmuel the Omekred Nechemia. And here we introduce another fantastically important halacha that comes up literally every day. That he's going like Reb Nechemya Shita, the Tznan Reb Nechemya Omer, Kol Davar Sheino Mekabel Tuma, Eino Mekabel Ktamim. The din of Ketan is dependent in the din of Kabbalah's Tuma. It's not an overall Gzeira Derabbanan that any dam that we find without a hargasha, we make a gzera. Maybe it was by hargasha. It's a din lagabi tyrants. So if the area where we found the blood is something that can be makabel tuma, then we have a gzera v'kesa. If you find this blood on something that cannot be makabel tuma,
like the ground,
and this, of course, is the whole question: toilet paper, is it something that's makabel? All of these new shilas that come up, pantyhose, is it makabel tuma, sanitary napkins, are they makabel? These are very important issues that are in our gag all the time. So, and this is how we paskin. So if it's not makabel tuma, there's no gzeir of a kesem bichlal. Shmuel is saying, the gzeir of kesem put aside, that has to do with tuma v'tayra. I'm talking about the shayla of whether the chachomin were ever geisha that a woman should be tameya without argosha, where there's no din of a kesem, such as finding on the ground. And that's all I'm saying, there is no such gezeira. Because if we don't have a reason to believe that there was a argosha, then there's nothing that would make us be metamir. This is a new halacha called gzeiras ksamim, which indeed the kusim aren't a dairish, because they don't understand my halacha of hargasha. And let's be mechalik between dam and kesem. Kesem is a unique halacha that is said about materials that are shayach for kabbalah student. Okay, well, I think we should. We'll leave the rest for tomorrow. Yes. So far, there's two new points that have been introduced. The din of tailin and the din of kesem being dependent on a dover that's makabel tuma. Agav, we also introduced a very important concept la'alocha of areas in which we need to be machmir because of dilma argusha. The confusion of Argosha, there's a tremendous difference between finding Dom, even we don't have a Gezer, and between finding Dom, where we have a reason to believe that there was Argosha that we just didn't pay attention to, such as the case of the urinating, or of the Boydeg, or of the Bishas Tashmish. Those are unique cases, which Lamaisa cause us much problems la'alocha, because there we have to be Cheshish for the Araisa too. Yes, dear President.
This is wearing a cotton panty.
Correct.
The ketting would be metame. If she was wearing a panty, nylon.
Correct. Okay, we'll have to get into the svara why this is true. But remember that we have other such cases. If she's wearing white underclothing, it's tame. And if she's wearing orange underclothing, it's not tame. Even though I see perfectly well, and there's a glob of blood, which I'd say orange. I mean, it's also, in other words, where were we misacking the dinim of ksamim?
Is there a connection between ketim and katon?
No, not at all. They're not spelled the same.
Why
are
you out of
power?